Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. Welcome back into the new year. The last Wednesday of 2018. The last Tuesday that we met, we talked about Matthew and Luke's narrative about all of the events regarding the birth of Christ, his dedication, the family going to Egypt and returning, and we covered all of that and managed to shatter some traditions. And that's something that you're going to have to just realize. When you come to a serious study of the Word, you're going to have preconceived ideas challenged. You should. When you go into prayer, we're talking about fasting, and some of you are fasting along with me. You go into prayer, it's amazing some of the preconceived ideas that you bring into prayer. And somewhere in there, the Holy Spirit will kind of gently nudge you and say, you know, it's not like that at all. Because he also corrects, doesn't he? Right? He rebukes, he corrects. Correction is a gentler form. What's rebuke? No, you need to turn around right now and do it right now. You're about to get burned. But a correction is you're heading this way, kind of towards that mark, and he's saying, you know what, you need to, let's fine-tune this. This is something you need to get a hold of here. And so, yes, Gloria.
I got to walk with a cane today blindfolded, and you get that cane tapping up against the wall, you have to make a correction. It might be slight, you aren't exactly sure where you are, but you know that you need to make a correction. I feel it's a little like that.
Yeah. Especially since we see through a glass darkly, then we'll see face to face. So this faith walk is not about experts instructing novices, okay? It's about people who have experience sharing their experience, and in the middle of that, the Holy Spirit speaking to our heart as we reflect upon the Word of God and deal with the guideline that we have sent before us. I wanted you to see this. This is, by the way, the Blue Letter Bible. There's a free app. You can download it and put it on your iPad, your Android device, your iPhone. You can also access it through the web on your computer. I think there's a web-based version. You can download a PC version and install it on your Windows device or Windows tablet or whatever. And you have the ability of going in and choosing any translation that you would like, and actually putting it side by side if you want to. So what I wanted to kind of show you here is we're going into the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, and I made it bigger so you can read it at the back. And can you read it back there? Is it big enough? And on the right-hand side, you have the Hebrew. Okay? And Hebrew goes from top to bottom, right to left. Okay, so notice up here, where's the verse number? Right there. So, we're going to go into this. I'll leave it up, but we're not going to mess with that much. But I just wanted to kind of let you see the Hebrew, and I wanted to, before we get started, I already did this with some people who were here early, but here is the name Adam, right here. Can you see where the name Adam is in the Hebrew? And your hint is, the first letter of Adam's name is Aleph. End of the first line, end of the second line, right there. That is Aleph, Dalet, Mem, Adam. Okay, so there, the name of God is also in there. It also begins with an Aleph. Second letter is Lamed. Can you see where Elohim is in there? First verse, reading right to left, just like this. Line 2, third word, and line 3, second word, Elohim. Elohim, right there. Now, this is a later script and had those dots, which are vowel pointers, to tell you what vowel to put in between this and the rest of the word. Those were not in the original Hebrew. They were simply the consonants. But Aleph acts at the beginning of a word as a vowel. Yod sometimes also acts as a vowel. So you had to know how to fill it in. And so I just wanted to kind of familiarize you with it. There's not going to be a test, okay? But I just kind of wanted to familiarize you that the scripture, the Old Testament, was written in Hebrew and a related language, Aramaic. That was the language of the Old Testament. It was translated. And so we have an English Bible on the left, and that is a translation of the original language of Scripture. Okay, so let's just plunge into Genesis chapter 5. Remember, we're moving towards the flood of Noah. That's out here on the horizon. But we're after the fall, right? After the creation, after the fall, kicked out of the garden, after the murder of Abel, right? By Cain. You have the expulsion of Cain. Okay? And we're going to pick up some of that on the timeline. This is the record of the family line of Adam. When God created humankind, he made them in the likeness of God, and he created them male and female. Now, earlier it says, and God created him. Male and female, he created them. So when God created humankind, now here's another thing as we read this. Notice that it says right there, the record. Okay? Over here, this word right here, talalit, is about a genealogy or a record. And that appears very often in Scripture in the Hebrew. And it's giving you now a family line. So he created them, male and female, when they were created, he blessed them and named them humankind. And when Adam had lived 130 years, 130 years from when? Creation. Okay, so you always hesitate because you think, he's setting me up with a trick question. Okay, so we have a timeline here. Along that timeline, this is, I guess, zero, right? Zero hours, 0 minutes, tenth of a second, or whatever, when he's now alive. Okay? And we come down here, and this is 130 years. Now, what can happen in 130 years? Well, somewhere in that timeline, Cain, Abel, and many other sons and daughters. Okay? We talked about this before, but the Bible is not an exhaustive book. It doesn't list all the children of Adam and Eve. Because it doesn't, what does tradition tend, or our assumptions tend to make us do? What do we do with our mind? Cain and then Abel and then Seth, those were the three kids of Adam and Eve. So then what becomes the question? When Cain got kicked out of the garden, it says he went and built a city and married a wife. Where in the world did he get his wife? Now, and we talked about this before. Don't we recoil about that? Ooh. He either married his sister or his niece. Wasn't forbidden. Why wasn't it forbidden? Brother Barry, you're the animal husbandry and medical guy. You're the resident guy. Why? Why was it not forbidden for a very long time? Okay, now, why is that? Because after a period of time, genetically, the gene pool gets really messed up. Okay? And so, when, this is just kind of basic Sunday school, hopefully, but it's okay. So, sometimes we don't think about these things. When was the law given about who you could marry or not marry? Moses. Was that like a long time down the line? Yeah. Okay. So this doesn't become a law until way... way down here, okay? Way out in the other building. Okay. So here we are, 130 years, and it says, he fathered a son in his own likeness according to his image, and he named him Seth. Now, isn't it interesting that he does that? Now, hadn't he fathered Cain? Huh? Yes. Hadn't he fathered Abel or Abel? Yeah. What do you think about that? Mm-hmm. Seth's line is important. And we have this idea, can Cain be the one who receives the blessing of his father? Why? He's cursed, and what has he done? He's murdered. Okay? So, there's no fatherly blessing on Cain. Can Abel be blessed by his father? He's dead. And Jesus refers to him as the first prophet. He said the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah who died between the porch and the altar will be required of this generation. Jesus goes all the way back to Abel as the first prophet. Isn't that amazing? Because he worshiped the Lord and served the Lord, and his brother was angry with him and killed him. It was the first murder was a religious dispute. Can't escape it. It was Abel was murdered over God receiving his sacrifice and not receiving Cain's. And Cain even knew why. And he knew better. And he proceeded on anyway, stubbornly. So, some of this we're picking up from our earlier in our studies, and I'm trying to kind of toss it in here as we go forward. Some of you are despairing if we're going to move through the passage, and we are. And so we have this idea that there are those who are not born firstborn, and yet they're the one that's seen as the head of the family. How did that happen in Jacob's life later? We're going way ahead, but this is a Bible story. Esau did what? Sold his birthright. Who was born first? Esau. But who received the blessing and became the leader and carried on the blessing from the father before? Jacob became Israel. Right? Okay. So, the length of time Adam lived after he became the father of Seth was 800 years. Okay, so I'm going to bring this up here a little bit closer maybe. I want us to be able to see something here. So after Seth, how many years did Adam live? 800. Okay. So he is 930. Okay. And then he died. Notice he dies short of 1,000 years. Okay. Why did he die? The soul that sins, it shall die. Right? Part of the curse. He reaches the end of his life. When Seth had lived 105 years, okay, so here's Seth. He goes 105, and who does he give birth to? Enosh. After that, how long did he live? What is it? 807. And he lives to be 912. Okay, so actually I'm not... Marty, it's not to scale. So somewhere out here, 912. Okay? Then he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he lived 90, and then who was born? How's that spelled? Oh, there it is. I can just look up. And how long did he? Conan. He lived 815, right? Okay. After that, yeah, after that, I'm sorry. And so what was the total?
905.
Okay. The entire lifetime of Enosh was 905, and then he died. And when Kenan had lived 70 years, he became the father of Mahalal. Right? So,
we have
Mahalalel. So we have 840 years. So he lived 70. 840, 910, and that's Mahalalel. The entire life of Kenan was 910 years, then he died. And when Mahalalel had lived 65 years, so I want you to notice something. What are you seeing?
Decrease in time.
Decrease in time until what?
Become a father, number one.
Okay. So this is going down, right? And so this is slightly tapering off, right? So so he lived to be 895, right? So Mahalalel was not 910. He's 895. Okay. 895.
No, he was
900. Mahalalel was 895. And when Jared had lived 162 years, so we get down here to Jared. He goes along 162 years, and then he became the father of Enoch. And after that, he lived 800.
So he's the outlier.
Now he's the outlier. And he had, then the entire lifetime of Jared was 962. And then he died, and when Enoch had lived 65 years, so we have Enoch, right? 65. How? And then what happens to Enoch? Right? And Enoch walked with God for 300 years and had other sons and daughters, and the entire lifetime of Enoch was 365. And Enoch walked with God, and then he disappeared because God took him away. Interesting. Interesting, right? So Enoch is 65, has sons and daughters. And 300 years after that he lives a total of 365. And no, he doesn't die. The scripture emphatically wants to point out to us, Enoch walked with God and then he disappeared because God took him away. Well, this is actually the first rapture. He's caught up. Now, before we freak out, did this happen to anybody else that they were taken up? They didn't die, but they were taken up. Elijah. That happens as recorded in the book of Kings, right? The great prophet of fire, northern kingdom. And so, all the way back here, the Bible is throwing us this huge curveball. There's a couple curveballs we're being thrown. One is that we're being asked to believe that a yom, as a day, and then the Hebrew word for year, which is a trip around the sun, that Adam lived 130 years, and after that Seth came along, and Seth begins to establish a line of people that the Bible pays attention to. Okay? This is the line of Seth. And Enoch walked with God, and then he disappeared because God took him away. Now, what happened to Aaron? We're going way ahead in Scripture, but we're just general Sunday school. He died. What happened to Moses? And who buried him? God did. An angel did. God oversaw his burial. Okay? Elijah, taken up in a fiery chariot. So we have in Scripture the example of two people, by the time we get to the book of Kings, who have been taken up or have gone to be with God without dying. So, amazing. When Methuselah, who was the oldest man in the Bible? Methuselah. When he had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. Does this mean that Methuselah had no kids before Lamech? No, it's telling you, Adam lived 130 years before he had Seth, right? But did he have other kids in here? So Scripture is not trying to tell us that he was a late bloomer, he waited so many years before he got married, whatever. But he picks up on there's a certain one that's born that becomes the one who's the namesake. And so this now is Methuselah. So Methuselah had lived 187 years. Let's see. Methuselah is the son of who? Enoch. So Methuselah is the son of Enoch, right? I thought that was Selah. Methuselah. And Lamech. So Methuselah is a total of 969. I think it's really interesting that Enoch lives exactly 365 years. Isn't that interesting? Why is that interesting? That's a year of years. It's a year of years. Methuselah, Lamech. In fact, astronomers and physicists, astrophysicists, believe that the period of the orbit of the Earth around the sun, because something has changed in the diameter of the Earth, has sped up slightly, which makes it a quarter of a day. 364.25. So why do we have a leap year? Because our calendar is written out to go for 365, and so we go 364, and we wait 4 years, and then add a day. And it brings us up, because we're, for 1 year, we're 6 hours off, then 12, okay? And then after 4 years, it's reset, and we're back on track. So that's enough math. Some of you are already going to sleep on me. As soon as I mention numbers, it's like, okay. So the entire lifetime of Methuselah was 969 years. Then he died. And when Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son and named him Noah. And when Lamech had lived, he named him Noah, saying, why? Why did he name him Noah? This one will bring us comfort from our labor and from the painful toil of our hands because of the ground that the Lord has cursed. And Lamech lived 595 years after Noah. He became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters. And the entire lifetime of Lamech was 777. Isn't that interesting? That must be Barry. And after Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. After he was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So what is it? What is the Bible asking us to believe? That people can wait really long and have kids, 500 years, okay? And or they can, here, 70, 90, 65, and they live 800, 900 years. Now, we always hear this, well, you know, that youth is wasted on the young, and so on and so forth. Can you imagine that you could learn things at the rate you do now, but live 10 times as long? How smart do you think you would be, Wayne?
I could probably get through high school.
Yeah. I mean, what? What's that? Where would Rick put all the guitars? That's right. Where would he put all the guitars? I mean, and realize this. We're not talking. Here's what we often do when we read these numbers. My goodness, you're old and infirmed at 70, and you have to live 600 and something or 800 years hooked over and barely gasping for breath? No. No, you have strength way into that. In fact, an easy way to conceive of that is that these people were dying at 93, 91, 90, if you just look at it as a percentage. So that meant that they were strong and vital into their 500 and 600th year.
Yep. That means it's like 13.
So, you know, now, it's not a strict relativity because part of it is exponential. And so we can't do a linear math on an exponential equation here. But, so I don't want to fall into that error. Well, then you're saying that they got married at 10 and a half and 9 and 7 and 6. No. Because it's an exponential thing. But they probably were able to be mature and have children and so on way before this. And what's interesting is that there are statements made about this, I think, in the book of, is it a book of Isaiah? Or is it in the book of Revelation? That if a man dies at 100, he will be considered to be a child during the millennial reign of Christ. Interesting. Okay, so that was just, I just wanted to throw that in there. So we lay this out, and we see this image, this picture of before the flood, because what do we know happens when Noah's here? Flood. Okay. He is 500 when we are mentioning Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay. So any questions or insights or comments so far? Yes, Gloria. Exactly. When you take this, and I didn't lay all this out in a grid, you can find this on the internet, though. Okay? In fact, I might do, at the break, I might go and pull up some of this stuff real quick and just throw it up on the screen for you. But if you look at the actual meaning of their names, Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah, when you put their names together, they form a complete sentence. A prophetic sentence. Very interesting. Very interesting. So you have Adam, then one, two, so one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. So the Bible is laying out there this concept that men lived as long as 969 years. Okay? That they had many sons and daughters. So I one time took this, and I have it somewhere in a spreadsheet, and I took population growth statistical models. Okay? Now, if you grow to be 930 years, is this a healthy environment? Pretty healthy, okay? There's something going on the earth previous to this guy that's very different from after that guy. Okay? So we're going to get into that in the flood of Noah. So if we take this idea, and the Bible's asking us to believe that before the flood of Noah, people lived almost 1,000 years. And that they were fertile, just if you're going to grab one figure out of there, up through 500 or so. What does that mean? You could have 300 kids. No wonder the Bible only mentions 1, 2, or 3. I mean, I don't know how you name them. If you name them number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, I don't know how you name them. I don't know how you keep them straight, the family albums. Can you imagine all the picture collections? Yeah, birthdays. Every day of the year was a birthday. So I plugged in some very conservative numbers, and just the population on the earth from this group of people, starting with Adam coming down, would have eclipsed today's population. Is that staggering or what? 7 billion. Because you don't have infant mortality. Your infant mortality rates are near zero. People are living to be almost 1,000 years old, and that's not remarkable. This is normal. This is the way it goes. And so if you have people conservatively putting out between 200 and 300 babies and near zero mortality rate, and people living that long, look at the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that's going on the earth. People understood more and knew more. Now, what lens do we usually look through when we look back at those folks before Noah, tucked away in the first couple chapters of Genesis? What is really the imagery we often have of them? Cro-Magnon man. And where do we get that image? Science. And it showed up in our schooling. Right? Evolutionary theory. Which goes back to one of our first sessions when I said uniformitarianism. That things have steadily along a line gradually got better and better and better. When the Bible is countering that. And it's saying it started out as Eden. And God called it very good. And he cursed the ground. Right? Because that's what he centered on. What is it Methuselah says? Or the prophecy? He says, Lamech named him Noah because he said, he has come to release us from the curse that is upon the ground. Isn't that what he said? It's exactly what he said. So, when you consider this timeline, that gives us something like, when you overlap it, something like 1900 years from the time of creation to the flood of Noah. Interesting, isn't it? Because you can actually take this. Somewhere I have that chart. I have to dig around in my stuff and I'll pull it out for you to see. But it lays out each of the sons of Seth who were 130 years out. Seth was 130 years out from the creation. He was born 130 years after the creation of Adam, the creation of all things. And then you lay these out, when they were born and how many years, and you will see that Adam, they could have communicated with Adam for all the way down here, somewhere around Enoch. Enoch could have visited Adam. Classic theory is, Adam told Seth, Seth told Enosh, Enosh told Canaan, Canaan told Mahalel, Mahalel told Jared, Jared told Enoch, Enoch told Methuselah, Methuselah told Lamech, and Lamech told Noah, and by the time it got to Noah, it was so garbled, Noah had no idea what the original message was. Did you ever hear the telephone game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No. Enoch could talk to Adam And Enoch could talk to Lamech. Lamech talked to Noah. Within just three men, the conversation could be had about how things were at the beginning, what God said, what's best, how do we do this, how do we do that. And so for a very long time, think of it this way, this will blow your mind. Adam was the high priest of the earth for hundreds of years. He was, along his line through Seth, was the man. Everything else was about rebellion against that. Okay? And so, let's see what's... I meant to do this right here. I think it's that one. Okay, so we're going to be able to... Let's take a break right here. You need to use the restroom, get a glass of water, get a cup of coffee. Yes, Jason. All right, let's fire it back up. I brought a chart up real quick. That's the beauty of the internet and having it connected right here through Apple TV. You can see this is charted out. Okay. 0 hour. And we move up to the birth of Seth right here, when he's 130, Adam is. You can see that up until this year, in the middle of 900 here, you can come straight down the chart and see that Noah was born slightly before the death of Adam. Right here. So Lamech could visit with Papa Adam, and Lamech could talk to Noah about what he had to say. So it's like Grandpa telling Dad who tells his son. So it's not a really long telephone game. And so, you know what? There's been history in our family. My dad told me, and I told my son. You know what? At that spot, there's no error. He knows about it. Now, as it goes on and on and on, there's no pictures and other things. Then it starts to get embellished, and it begins to fall apart, right? And so... Now, you can see here that if you start with that, that we're looking at the early 1700 years, right here, is when the flood comes. Or, I'm sorry, I think that's when Noah dies. No, that's when the flood comes. And Methuselah's life ends the same year that the flood comes. And he lived the longest man ever. 969 years. It's not believed that he died in the flood. It would be a rough deal to be Methuselah and the son of Enoch, who knew God and was translated, and then be taken out in the flood because you won't listen to Noah. That's that's really hard for me to go for. You know, to be the longest living man and be lost, that would be a bummer, wouldn't it? So, yeah, really. So, like I said, you have the Blue Letter Bible, you have eSword, you have Bible Crossway. There are 1,100 Bible resources for free on browsers and apps, on iPhone and Android, and every way... How we couldn't have some tools to look at some things are just beyond me. I just don't know how that could be. So you might look in there and look for the story that's told by the names of the offspring of Adam. That's fascinating. So, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to look right in front of God and everybody. I'm going to go Google that. I can't resist. I may have to turn this sideways because sometimes areas of my screen will not obey. Let's see if this will go back. There we go. Okay. This will. meaning of life. No. The meaning of the names of the seven sons or the sons. Let's just do sons. Man is appointed, a mortal man of sorrow is born. The glory of God shall come down, instructing that his death shall bring those in despair comfort and rest.
No way.
That's what the meaning of each of those names in Hebrew are when you string them together in a sentence, which is Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, the God. Man is appointed, a mortal man of sorrow is born. The glory of God shall come down, instructing that his death shall bring those in despair comfort and rest. What's in a name? What's that? And that's from BibleCodes.org. Oh, okay. I'll leave it up there on the screen. How's that? For just a second. And this goes back to the idea that every letter in Hebrew has a meaning, and then as they're put together, they have meanings as a word, and then they have meanings as letters within the word can actually serve a phrase. Notice that Methuselah's name is his death shall bring. So upon his death, I guess Methuselah was the trigger. God did. There was a whole lot of communication between God and Adam, God and Cain, and the others. God was not silent saying nothing for 1700 years. He was visiting, talking, conversing, meeting with, and Adam was the priest of the earth. And here's a term I'm going to introduce to you. It's a concept I'm going to introduce to you, that the idea of a Melchizedek. The Melchizedek priesthood could actually connect all the way back to Adam. Who was the first priest? Adam. And so Abel was the one that was the son in preparation, and he was murdered by Cain. Cain can't receive the blessing. Abel's gone. And 130 years later, after the creation, there's one born, and his name is Seth, and he becomes the one in waiting. He's in the image of Adam, it says. A son in his image. So, everybody get that copy that wanted to? I'm up here tap dancing. And let me juggle for a while, okay? We'll just juggle for a while. as you're still copying. So, that's a concept. The Bible is a connected thing from beginning to end. And as we're not careful... With our traditions, we come to the Scripture and we look back and we go, oh, God was silent for 1,700 years. People followed one another. All things acted. They were Cro-Magnon men. They grabbed people by the hair and dragged them around. They were throwing spears at each other and bear skins and bone knives and all this other stuff. No. Adam had a download to name all the animals, and he understood how the earth worked. And he had hundreds of years to train his progeny. Okay? Now, something that we see that we didn't follow very much, and that is, we mentioned it in the fourth chapter, it's somebody else by the name of Cain. Okay? So what way did Cain go? He leaves, he becomes a wanderer on the earth, and he's departing, going to his own way, he's a murderer, and we see some very interesting things happen with Cain. Is everybody done copying that? Okay. I'm going to risk the wrath of somebody here. Let me do that. And we'll go back here. So let me go back maybe to the fourth chapter and pick up something from there. And we hear this from Cain. So Cain had marital relations with his wife. She became pregnant, gave birth to Enoch. This is not Enoch. Okay? Some say Enosh. Cain was building a city, and he named it. He's building a city. What do you need to build a city for? He's moved away from the garden. He's wandering. So he builds a city. What do you need to build a city for? What do you build cities for? People. Defense. Central. Coming together. Having defense. Having walls. Right? So what are they building cities out of? Stone. They're building cities out of stone. So they're building huge monolithic cities. Why do you need to do that if there's only 20 of you? Where are you going to get all the labor to do that? Ah, there's a whole lot of more people on the earth than our common tradition allows us to understand. So Enoch had Irad. Irad was the father of Maholiel. Yael. He was the father of Methusael. And Methusael was the father of Lamech. Lamech took two wives for himself. The name of the first was Adah, and the name of the second was Zillah. The first example of polygamy. The first biblical example of polygamy. Adah gave birth to Jubal. He was the first of those who live in tents and keep livestock. And the name of his brother was Jubal. He was the first of all who play the harp and the flute. And Zillah also gave birth to Tubal-Cain, who heated metal and shaped all kinds of tools made of bronze and iron. Wait a minute. I thought the Bronze Age was AD 400 or BC 400. No, not according to the Bible. The Bronze Age, they were using bronze and iron. Now, what's bronze? Copper and tin. And it's an alloy. It's an alloy. So you have to smelt it. How do you get bronze? Don't you have to smelt it? Does everybody know what smelting is? Okay, you have to heat it up to a certain temperature. And under the heat, it gets to a certain temperature, and then it blends together. And now you have, it's tin and copper. Are we right? Or wrong, right? Wrong, right? Wrong. What's that? Yeah, they have very scientific minds. They had already figured out how to. These are the sons and grandsons of Cain. Had already figured out. They were building monolithic cities and using iron and brass. Bronze. So they were using alloys of metal. And what do you need iron for? Heavy stuff. Tools. Metal tools. You're dealing with stone. You better have iron.
Rebar.
Right?
Rebar.
Yes, Wayne? Weapons. It's another thing that you're doing. And so he talks about if Cain is to be avenged seven times as much, then Lamech 77 times. And then it switches over to Adam and talks about the replacement there. And then here at the very last part it says, and the son was also born to Seth, whom he named Enosh, and at that time people began to worship the Lord. Interesting. We have Seth's line are worshipers of Yahweh. What is Cain? Not a worshiper of Yahweh. He's a wanderer. He's left the presence of God. And what happens when a person is not a worshiper of God and leaves his presence and does their own thing? Do things tend to improve and get better? Okay, I just check in. Some people think they do. And I just wanted to make sure that we're all a consensus today that it does not get better. Okay? So some of this we're going to get into is going to open a huge can of mystery to us as we get into the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. Any questions on chapters 1 through 5 so far? No. No, I don't. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want you to be bored, but I don't want to run ahead and have you say, well, wait a minute, I had a question about that. So we can slow down, punch pause. We can slow walk this thing. It has nothing to do with people's intelligence or whatever. It sometimes is a fire hose. I don't want it to be that. I want us to be able to stop and ask questions and think about things. Yeah. Then by the time of the flood of Noah, they were global. Everywhere. Well, we'll deal with that when the flood of Noah. I'll say that previous to the flood of Noah, they had carried out the first great commission of God: multiply and cover the earth. Well, we're going to get into whether there was a Pangaea, so don't hang your hat on that. You may get shot off the hook. So the whole earth was covered. We don't know. Theoretically, we don't know exactly. We have theories and postulates, but we have no hard, fast evidence. We just know where they landed. Right. So what you'll have is a theory about where the Garden of Eden was. What are some of the theories you've heard about where the Garden of Eden was? Texas should have been, right? Where? Iraq. Where else? What's that? In a portal. Okay, so it was a trans-dimensional place. Okay?
I've actually read one that said that Eden was the center of the earth, and at the time, Jerusalem would have been Eden was 1,500 miles, and so it's kind of a model of heaven, and Jerusalem would have been
the center dot where it was.
Right.
Okay. What else have you heard? Because these are just theories. I mean, the Bible, the scripture, as much as it says radical things like somebody lived to be 969 years old, it's impossible from the information we have to fix a GPS coordinate of where Eden was. Would be entirely different. They just took the names and renamed them. Right. Right. What happened when they came to America? They called it New York. And when the Germans came up from the tip of Texas up through the hill country, they started New Fredericksburg and other places because it reminded them of the hill and the mountain and the water. Reminded them of a town where they had come from, and they tended to settle places in Texas that looked a whole lot like where they come from at home, right? So we have New London, Connecticut, Paris, Texas. Yeah. With a huge river. Yeah. So when it comes to where the Garden of Eden was, you can have supposition, guess, but you know what? We have to say, Scripture doesn't tell us. We don't know. Okay. What's that? Yeah, don't take a stand on that one. That's not a hill to die on. Okay. But, we know that Cain was sent, and we also know an angel guarded the entrance. And so Karen has pointed out something. There's the idea of the of what's called a portal. That's not unprecedented. We're going to get into that later with Genesis, with the dream of Jacob. And it's the idea of an interdimensional place. Okay? Because right now we're living in what kind of dimension? Three. Right? Yes, Chano. Yeah. I would too. I would too. I don't know. So, so we have this idea of Eden being a place where heaven touches earth, and this is a place where Adam and Eve could deal with. Remember, we started out with the idea of the Shemaim and the Eretz. You all familiar with that? I don't want to bore you and drag it out, but is everybody familiar with that? Because that's a term you need. You're going to hear me say from time to time to time, and that we have the Shemaim creation. I also call it the unseen realm. Okay, and what we're talking about is, and Michael Heiser wrote a book called The Unseen Realm, and that is the realm of the creation that God created that we often label angels, but it's actually a collection of different beings that we can't see in this dimension unless they reveal themselves. And even Paul says, beware, because some people have entertained angels unaware. Why are they unaware? Because the angels looked exactly human, fully interactive, and you had no idea. Okay? So, yeah.
There's two times in my life I think I've met an angel.
Okay. Besides Jeanette. Okay, all right, all right. I'm just helping you, just helping you.
Middle of the night, my truck starts to break down. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I pull into a isolated little service station over near Tyler. And I mean, the truck is acting up. And I think, Lord, this is about the last thing I need. Up walks this guy, really nice guy, Christian, obviously, by his talk. And pop the hood. Just happened to have the one tool he needed to diagnose what the problem was. He said, we can't fix this, but there's a place down here. And he said, I know from experience that if you drive it at such and such a speed, don't exceed that, it will work fine until you get down there. Now, I mean, I call her names. Another time, here's Jeanette. She leaves. She says, I'm going on a ladies' retreat. I've got two little babies at home, you know. I got to take care of them. She says, will you make sure that you vacuum the floor before I get home? You betcha, baby. So she's going to come home Sunday early afternoon, okay? So a little bit earlier than that on Sunday afternoon, I decided to vacuum. And I'm running the vacuum, and all of a sudden, it quit. And I flipped it over and looked at it, and it, the little belt that turns the rotors, it broke it. Sunday afternoon, you get a belt like this. And no sooner I said that, boom, 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 on the front door, hold it up, here's a Kirby vacuum cleaner. On Sunday afternoon. On Sunday afternoon, and I said, yeah, I got a Kirby over here, and I can't figure out what it is. He set his little box down. He said, yeah, this is the thing you need right here, this little band. He got one out of his briefcase, his little case, and put it on my back of the hand. It worked just fine. Now, the man left, and I went over and I opened up the curtain just a little bit. Because if he disappeared in the puff of smoke or a flash, I was going to see him go.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to tell me that. I believe that was an
right.
angel. You know?
Right. So it brings us back to this idea that there's this interaction between the Shemaim, right, and the Eretz. And the Shemaim is dimensionally above the Eretz, which means it's like the Eretz is a subset in the sense that Shemayim can see everything in the Eretz, but the Eretz rarely gets to see anything in the Shemayim. This is where there's a barrier. And it's called a glass darkly. We see through a glass. It's also called a veil. Right? So angels, they see everything in the physical realm. Humans rarely and occasionally get to glimpse something in the Shemayim. Now, that's after the fall and after judgment and all kinds of stuff. When you go back to Eden, it's the idea that Eden was a place on the earth that was right in between those, a place where there was full transparency. And that's where God would walk in the cool of the day and visit with Adam. Isn't that interesting? And when they sinned, an angel stands there and guards it with a sword. Two angels, right? An angel with swords crossed, flaming sword, keeps them from going and taking from the tree of life. And so that place in Eden was once a very transparent, obvious place. And now, where is it? Can't see, it's gone. Okay, so, yes, Wayne. I think I'll save this for next week. We'll go into chapter 16. Go ahead. Now, here's an interesting curveball I can just throw in here. The idea of the temple, the office, or the throne. Okay, this is the place of the temple. This is an interface. This is Eden, okay? How many of you ever heard of the term seraphim? The name seraphim actually came out of Assyria. It's a word that was borrowed out of Assyria during the northern kingdom's captivity in Assyria. And who's the prophet that talks about seraphim? Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 6, northern kingdom, influenced by Assyria. He talks about seraphim. The seraphim, coming from the Assyrian language, is the idea, and this is going to mess with you, the Assyrians had snake guardians that guarded the throne. And when we read the Genesis account, we have a serpent deceiving Eve. And then when we go over to Isaiah and Ezekiel, we hear about the cherub that covered. And there's an interesting movement, and it's not to focus upon the imagery of a serpent, because it also means shining one. Okay? So we have a shining one here. And And then you have his name is Lucifer in Isaiah, the bearer of light. What does that make him? Shining. What is the brightest planet and normally comes up in the morning? Venus. I see it some mornings and I know it's a big jumbo jet coming out of a pattern at DFW. And I'm driving east and I go, I'm waiting for it to turn and they usually don't take this way. What? Oh, that's Venus. Never mind. Because it's huge. I'm just looking. It's just humongous. It's like an AC-130 hanging right over 30, making a turn into the base or something. And it's not. It's Venus. That was called the star of the morning. And so it's a bright, shining one. See? And so in the movement between Assyrian to Hebrew and in culture, you have this idea of serpent and this idea of shining one. And so depending on how you translate it, you get pictures of snake-headed men guarding the throne of the Assyrian king. Weird, isn't it? It's weird. So, we have this idea of Eden being the place where Adam and Eve could talk with God, and with the fall, outside. And so, we begin with this idea of a temple, right? And then we see it show up in a tabernacle off of Mount Sinai. And then we see it show up in Jerusalem as a temple. And then we see it in the book of Revelation as a temple. And then when we read the tail end of the book of Revelation, it says, and in the midst of her there was no temple, because the Lamb himself is the light. And we don't need an intermediary. We all get complete access. So you have, actually, from here, I like this symmetry. Here in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, okay? You come all the way over here to Revelation 22, and you have New Jerusalem. And it's 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500. And there is no temple in it. Why? Because all of us get direct access without an intermediary to God himself. Is that powerful or what? Is that powerful or what? Any other questions over Genesis 1? We actually have about 10 minutes. I'm going to honor your time and let you go. I'm not going to be Pharaoh.
You said
yes, four. Some even say five. But. Yeah, because the timeline. But there's also time immemorial, ongoing, that's implied in Scripture. When it says, aeon, kai aeon, from age to age, ongoing. So what we have is we have time on the earth beginning here. Time began in the Shemayim back here sometime, we don't know, and it goes forward. Time in the physical creation goes forward, and it doesn't have an end. Doesn't end. Any other questions? I pulled my mic away. Just have a couple minutes. Hey, you want to get out early tonight? Is that the question? Can you let us go early tonight? All minds are clear, or all minds are as clear as mud? Okay, so we're going to prepare thyself because next week we're going to, let me see. Yes, I will be back from my meeting. I wanted to make sure that meeting gets over and then I'll be back. So I'll be back in time. We're going to go into Genesis chapter 6. And so let's just read it, and then you need to be familiar with this and maybe even think of some questions in advance, because not only is the Bible asked us to believe that God dealt with man on the earth, there was an Eden on the earth, that heaven and earth touched two different dimensions, and that this all comes down, that people live to be 969 years old and had hundreds of sons and daughters. And it kind of seems rude, because the scripture mentions very often, I don't know if you've noticed this, do you realize how many times the wife of a person isn't mentioned? Not only does that happen, but most of their families aren't mentioned. It's only the highlight of the one significant person out of their family that was connecting to something that the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal. So it is the Bible is it's a very amazing book, because he narrows down and zooms in tight and follows the line, but he brings information to the surface that allows it to then be expanded. So with study and with prayer, the work of the Holy Spirit is to help you to connect that all together and bring it to life. It's just an amazing process that happens. That's why we should pray and study the Word. Because the Holy Spirit, one of His functions, one of His jobs that He loves to do, is to take us back to that Word and help us to insert ourselves into it and come away with a view, a perspective, and an understanding. And we connect to it in our spirit, and it becomes life to us. But to those who are perishing and have no interest in it and are scoffers, what is it? It's a book full of nonsense. It's just craziness. And one of the crazy things that ask us to believe is that people live to be 969 years of old. And as we saw on the chart, that for about 1,700 years, people lived before the flood of Noah. Now that's on down just a little bit longer. And in fact, we'll take probably one of our sessions and maybe watch the whole time, watch something, some sessions on the flood of Noah, and then we'll really kind of really deal with the idea of Noah. So let's read this before we pray and go. When humankind began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humankind were beautiful. Thus they took wives for themselves from any they chose. So, the Lord said, my spirit will not remain in humankind indefinitely, since they are mortal. They will remain for 120 more years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And also after this, when the sons of God were having sexual relations with the daughters of humankind, who gave birth to their children, and they were the mighty heroes of old, the famous men. But the Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind had become great on the earth. Every inclination of the thoughts of their minds was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that He made humankind on the earth, and He was highly offended. So we are going to open up the topic of who in the world were the Nephilim, who are the daughter, who are the sons of God, and who are the daughters of men. Okay? So we have a word of prayer. We'll get controversial next week. You ready? Can you all handle some controversy? It's fixing to get weird around here. All right. Lord, we just bow before You. We thank You for Your word. We just want to continually open our heart to You. Holy Spirit, You love to unpack, reveal, teach us, take us in beyond the surface of Your word and open up entire dimensions to us. And so we're just inviting You. We just want to be your student. We want you to lead us and guide us and direct us. And as we study together, as we communicate, as we talk, that we can lay some things out on the table and discuss it and talk about it. And who knows, in the middle of that, what things you will stir up within us, what things you'll open up. So, Lord, we just thank you for this adventure we can be on together in your word. Just ask that you bless everybody as we go from this place tonight. And as we fast and pray as a church, Lord, that you'll just do a mighty, mighty thing in our midst, right here in 2019. We know that you want to do that. And we're just giving you permission and inviting you and asking you, Lord, to do something powerful. Touch the earth in this place and do something, Lord, for your glory and honor. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.